Good evening. Purpose of this item is to give you an update on our efforts for stormwater management through a state permit.
Great picture, Randy. I don't know if people notice the oil slick in the, very good. Yeah, good work.
Yes, so NPDES, the acronym here is the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. We've been operating under this permit for a while now. It's been renewed. This is an EPA and federally mandated program. We had a permit that was issued in 2005. It was reissued formally in November. There was a slight amendment that came through in December. And so we just want to keep you informed on these new requirements. The permit has six primary pieces listed here. Not going to dwell too long on most of them, but we do want to at least touch on them. Public education and outreach, we're meeting that requirement through a variety of measures. We work with a regional partnership called the Clean Water Education Partnership with a number of other jurisdictions is one way of doing this. And then we also doing a lot of work locally. One thing I want to let you know that we're planning for this coming fall is to work through the Century Center and the Rec and Parks program to have some both evening classes and one or two Saturday workshop kind of activities. And these will be focusing on things that will be helpful to inform our citizens about ways that we can all be working to be better stewards of our local creeks. Public involvement and participation, the primary vehicle that we've set up in Carrboro for satisfying this is to have our Environmental Advisory Board be our sort of our town government arms out into the community. Bringing this to you is another way that we want to get the word out. We also the plan that we have developed, we've put out on our website so that people can be reviewing that. But you know, basically, I view this part of the permit requirements as sort of the way we do business in Carrboro. This is, you know, we have ongoing involvement with our citizens. The two start items here, I want to talk a little bit more about, so I'll be going through those, and I won't mention them now. The construction site stormwater runoff control, we've delegated this authority to Orange County, and this is basically for erosion control during development. And finally, the pollution prevention and good housekeeping piece. This is one that our Public Works Department takes the lead on, and it involves the things we do with you know, a lot with our roads and streets, and but also our municipal facilities, and just minimizing any opportunities for runoff impacts that happen in our own municipal operations. What are illicit discharges? I'll talk about illicit discharges a little bit here. All of these sources can potentially be an illicit discharge if they get conveyed through our stormwater system to creeks. So these are all pretty obvious as things we want to keep out of our creeks. But it's helpful to just, to be clear about them. But the very last point, you know, is in the federal requirements. And we do actually want to make sure we keep sand, dirt, and ashes out of our creeks. So what is not an illicit discharge are some of, or all of, these are examples, but these are the primary things we're concerned about. So just to be clear, you know, when irrigation water or uncontaminated groundwater or potable water, foundation drains from buildings, et cetera, you know, all these things are not considered to be illicit discharges. This one is one that I find to be interesting. In the federal requirements, and one, the residential and charity car wash, and I still think we want to work with any folks that are doing that kind of activity to minimize the possibility that car washing activities can end up in creek impacts. But
are the regulations controlling the use of phosphates at car washes in the detergents? Or?
For commercial car washes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are regulations that require that all commercial car washes discharge of the sanitary sewer. Whether or not they require phosphates to be controlled or limited, I'd have to look into that. I'm not positive.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Randy, I have a question regarding the residential and charity car washing. What about brake dust? Why wouldn't that, I mean, the particulate matter in that could...
Sure. Yeah, I mean, so this is the federal requirements, and the rationale here is just to not regulate, you know, residences and charities explicitly. If we wanted to go above and beyond in what we do, then, you know, that would be something we could choose to do. But, yeah, I mean, brake dust is obviously has metals in
right.
it, and... I think the question here is whether this is something we want to do through strong regulations or through an educational approach.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously, you know, if we start regulating residential and charity car washing, there's a fair amount of compliance and enforcement mm-hmm. kind of time involved in doing that as well. So that's something we would have to wait carefully.
I certainly would like us to be able to look into that in terms of adding it to the educational piece, because I think folks don't realize, you know, what's in the brake dust and it would be transferred to the water.
Okay. So we have been doing some work in our previous permit cycle. We did update our town code to include an illicit discharge piece in 2000, it's either 2008, 2009. We did a lot of work in the past several years to update our stormwater system mapping. We've thoroughly inventoried our stormwater system. The length that we've mapped is about 55 miles. I just think that's helpful for us all to know how, you know, about the extent of the conveyance system that we maintain and operate. That's just what we've mapped. It doesn't include all the conveyances on private property, for example, and it also doesn't necessarily, you know, we haven't captured completely all of the ditches along driveways and even probably some of the ditches along roads and doing that. So that's a conservative estimate. One thing we did last time as we initiated what is known as an outfall reconnaissance inventory, and I'll talk a little bit more about what this involves in just a moment, focusing on the downtown area. And we also worked with the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service to do a training for a wide number of town staff. And included in that, we also invited some of the neighboring jurisdictions that participated in that training. And we also have been doing some planning for illicit discharges. What this basically entails is that when we go out and look at a stormwater outfall during dry weather, when there shouldn't be any water running through it, since there's no rain happening, if we happen to notice that there's a discharge, if there is water coming out, then we want to have some way of determining if that discharge is from an uncontaminated source or potentially from a source that we would like to control and eliminate from the system. And so we're done some planning on how to monitor for that kind of situation. And we've identified priority outfalls that we want to be looking at. I have a map I'll show here in just a moment. And I noticed a typo here, I should say. And then, so if we go to one of these sites and we find that there's water running and it looks like there could be some contamination, then obviously we need to follow up and trace it to its source and figure out how to get rid of it. These are the priority outfalls that we've identified here. So we're looking at downtown right in this area, town halls right over in this area, Owassa plants here, some of the large multifamily housing, and of course the bypass running here. So all the blue dots represent stormwater outfalls that some of these we've already visited And all of these we intend to visit in the near future and see if there's, during dry weather, if there's anything being discharged from them that we need to be concerned about.
Randy, is that large cluster that's along where the multifamilies, yeah, from there west, is all that draining to Morgan?
Yes. So basically the divide between Morgan and Boland runs somewhere here through downtown, mm-hmm. or this like that. So quite a large majority of these sites are draining to Morgan Creek, relatively few. There's one that's not quite showing up on your map here, but I can see it on my screen, actually. That's all the way up at, we have a site at McDougal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that got it there, all the way up there. That one's basically the runoff coming off of McDougal site there. So we'll be looking at all these in the, you know, hopefully as many, maybe all of them, but as many as possible this summer and fall, and following up if we find any concerns. And basically the monitoring that we're focusing on is looking at detergents or surfactants and ammonia as our two primary indicators. And if we find concentrations of surfactants or ammonia, that's pointing us to the possibility that there's either wastewater or some kind of wash water contamination. If after doing that monitoring, we still have some uncertainty about being able to trace the source, this is when we would consider trying to get a WASA in to help do some additional monitoring. And I suppose there's even a scenario where we might find something, and even at that point, we aren't quite sure what it is, and we might need to do some contract lab work to further identify the source. In our town, sewage is probably the main thing we're concerned about. And so that's it for the illicit discharge piece. And now I'd like to move on to the post-construction runoff requirements. This is the part of the permit that basically focuses on our planning for and then managing new development. So there's a big emphasis on appropriate design of management practices for new development, and there's also an emphasis on the BMP operation and maintenance. So one thing I did want to mention to you as part of this is that we are looking at instituting in our fee schedule new fees for town inspection of BMP, what we call best management practices or stormwater BMPs. And so I think it's on the 19th that is scheduled for you. Is that or in the next few weeks, you should be expecting to see that. I mentioned, so the design and permitting as part of the post-construction runoff control requirements, this is all, our primary mechanism here is to rely on the North Carolina Division of Water Quality BMP manual as the source of what is seen to be, what we see, what we require in new development to satisfy our ordinance requirements. I do want to give a heads up that about our maintenance and inspections to let you know what we've been doing. Well, first let you know what we've been doing and then what we're planning to do. We have inventoried all of the best management practices that have been permitted in the town. The number's up around 170 over a whole number of developments over several decades. We know the location. We know the type of device. And so that's whether it's a retention or detention, a bioretention, a filter, a cistern, and several other types of devices. We know the area that device is treating. And then we have instituted in the past couple of years a maintenance and inspection program that means that new developments and new management practices that are permitted have various requirements for maintenance and inspection. A responsible party is identified. There's a requirement for entering into an agreement with the town that clearly identifies the necessary maintenance for the device and clearly identifies responsibilities both for the, you know, in instituting this program, we're both making it clear the private party is the responsible party for the maintenance, and then the staff has responsibilities for ongoing inspection of these devices. What we're seeking to do in this permit is to make sure that we've inspected every single practice in the town during the course of the permit, and there's a number of practices that we seek to inspect annually. This is a map of where they all are. This map hasn't been updated in the past several months or maybe even close to a year, so there's a few others that have come online since it was created, but it gives you some sense for the broad geographic distribution of all of the practices that have been permitted. So in some future activities that we're planning, we have to submit an annual report for our first year of the permit by November 2012, and we'll be making that available for review this fall. And as I mentioned, we'll be pursuing illicit discharge reconnaissance and monitoring and doing outreach on the best management practice maintenance and inspection program. So we have created a plan, stormwater management plan, and posted on our website. We will be submitting this to the state sometime in the upcoming month or two, or maybe three. You know, we welcome any feedback on this from any parties. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Thanks, Randy.
I have a question. The stormwater management plan in and of itself, how does it relate to or how does it inform our reports for the Jordan Lake rules? Is there, what's the relationship?
Yeah, it's really its own thing, and we have a separate separate reporting requirement for Jordan Lake rules. We've been working with the state staff to try to streamline that all into one thing so we're not having multiple reporting requirements. And we're hoping that with the annual report that we submit in November that we can basically, you know, either this year or if not this year, then as soon as possible in future years, sort of merge those reports into one. And the state has given us some indication that they're open to that, but you know, I think we sort of have to demonstrate that we can satisfy both reporting mm-hmm. requirements in one place.
Excellent, thanks.
Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Randy. Is there a motion for attachment A?
Attachment A. I move attachment A.
Okay, moved by Alderman Hafen O'Donnell, seconded by Alderman Johnson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Passes unanimously. Item B7.
Thanks, Randy.